This is the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harrell.
Welcome to another edition of the Paranormal Podcast. I'm Jim Harrell. Thanks so much for listening. You know, in 3 years of doing the show, one thing that we've never touched on, and it seems like it's long overdue, is the topic of astrology. And tonight, we're very fortunate to have with us probably one of the preeminent astrologers on the internet. Maria DeSimone. She has her site, insightfulastrology.com. And you've been, Maria, into astrology for several years now. And it, by looking at your website, it's been an interesting journey, hasn't it?
Yes, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so excited to be the first astrologer to share this amazing world and language with your listeners. Astrology is actually the oldest science known to man. And a lot of people don't realize that astrology is both art and science. It's a beautiful blend, and it is the only metaphysical science that truly draws from it math, science, and the planetary activity from above. And in a nutshell, what astrology is for all of us is the study of how planetary patterns influence human behavior.
And, you know, that was actually going to be my question, because even though I've taken a great interest in the paranormal overall, I've never really gotten into astrology. Sure, you know, I will look at the paper and see what my day has in store occasionally, or I've gone as far, and I actually happen to be a Cancer, and you know, I'd read those books and say, you're a Cancer, and this is what you're like, and so forth and so on, but never really took it much further than that. And I guess my question always was, how can the heavenly bodies, the stars and the planets, how can they affect our daily lives on Earth? It just doesn't necessarily seem to connect. So how would you explain that?
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to point out to you and all your listeners that there's so much more than the sun sign to astrology.
Okay.
So even though the sun sign is the most obvious and easy to figure out factor in your birth chart, it's not your whole horoscope. Many people have never seen what their horoscope looks like. And all you need to know to cast a proper horoscope is your date, time, and exact location of birth. And when you see that map, what that map is a snapshot of what the universe looked like at the exact moment you were born. And the universe is always moving. The planets are always rotating, and obviously the Earth is a part of that. And that imprint is actually so unique that it cannot be replicated for 25,000 years. So you are that unique. Your energy, your life lessons. And if you think about, everything is energy. I'm sure you agree with me when I say that. The planets are energy just as we are. What happens when you are born is that when you take your first live breath in a human body, as a soul in a human body, the planets and how they are aligned at that moment will imprint whatever energy, whatever characteristics that they are having in their dance in the sky at that moment. That snapshot gets imprinted onto you in this physical world when you take your first breath. And that's the premise of how astrology works. And I know it sounds very far-fetched to people who don't understand astrology, who've never heard of it before, but if you read some books, if you just do some browsing on the internet and approach it with an open mind, you will realize that it is, like I said, a lot more scientific than it first appears. When we make predictions and when we talk about your characteristics, we're really not pulling something out of a hat. What we're doing is we're basing that on the specific alignment of the planets and how they influence you. So you said you're a Cancer. That Cancer sun is a part of you. It is what you're learning to become. But if you don't resonate with all of the qualities of Cancer, there's a reason for that. You don't know what your moon sign is in, and that's your emotions. You don't know what motivates you. That's your Mars sign. You don't know how you come across to others, and that's something called your rising sign. And I'm excited that later on we'll get to talk about this with some callers, and I'll be able to illustrate how I can bring the astrology to life for a person. So for you and for everyone else, I really encourage you to go and visit a website where you can see what your birth chart looks like. And I do have that. There's a free chart maker on my website that you can go to see what your birth chart looks like. It's a fascinating, fascinating map to look at. And if you've never seen one before, you will be absolutely amazed at how that piece of paper that you're staring at is really the blueprint of your soul and its journey here on Earth.
Oh, that's absolutely fascinating. You're so knowledgeable about this subject. How did you get into astrology?
That's a very good question. When I was about 28 years old, I had two little babies. I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I was in that mommy stage of pretty much going out of my mind at home with the kids. And I had always wanted to be a psychologist and a writer. I have a degree in psychology, and I was always writing. So when I was 28 years old, in between the two babies, I decided to write my first novel. And my determination was to have it become a New York Times bestseller, of course. And so I was at a bookstore looking for books on how to query agents and all of that. And I see this poster, and it said that there would be an astrologer lecturing at the bookstore in a few nights, and he would be doing some spot readings for people who were having a birthday that month. And I was having a birthday that month. So I came back a couple of nights later and attended the lecture. And that man, when he did the spot reading for me, he punched away my birth information on his laptop and he invited me up to the podium to look at the birth chart. And literally, the hairs in the back of my neck stood up when I saw that birth chart for the first time. I was so blown away by how accurate this man was and how what he was telling me about my life. He knew I was a writer before I said a word. He knew what was going on in my life, and I didn't tell him anything. And so it does come across as very psychic, and certainly there is an intuitive aspect to this work. But when I later started to study astrology more and find out how he knew the information, it just made me want to learn more. So to become an astrologer, you actually have to go to either a correspondence course or to an actual school, because you are required to learn the mechanics of astrology before you can practice it. So I hope that all of your listeners, if they're looking for an astrologer, do your research first. There are many well-respected organizations that can recommend an astrologer to you. You can do a search online and look up the credentials of an astrologer before you invest in a consultation with them. And that's the rest is history. I became an astrologer from there.
Well, actually, we should mention that you're the vice president for the Long Island, New York chapter of the National Council for Geocosmic Research. So you're involved in one such organization, I guess, correct?
Yes, that is actually the most widely respected astrological organization in the world. And I'm very honored to be an active part of the New York chapter. You can go on their website, and I can't recall it offhand, but I know it's in the bio section of my website, or you could just go and Google the National Council for Geocosmic Research, and they have tons of astrologers that they recommend that are absolutely top-notch. There are, I would say, a few thousand astrologers in the world who are really, really good at what they do. So you want to get someone with the credentials.
And actually, I just looked it up while we were talking here. That's geocosmic.org. And we'll put that in the show notes along with, of course, Maria's website address. Maria, so to some extent, I guess, well, I don't know if this is right or not. Our lives are shaped from the outset. Is that correct?
Well, here's the thing with astrology. I believe, and most astrologers agree, we choose our birth time and our birth circumstances because the soul incarnates here on Earth to learn specific lessons. And that map sets up the initial circumstances to help us, to put us in a situation so that we can learn those lessons. Now, there is an element of free will. The energy of your Cancer Sun, for example, can be manifested in the most positive way or in a very negative way. You can be extremely nurturing and extremely ambitious in terms of your career, or you can be very smothering to the people that you love. So you could see the difference in the level of evolvement with how you use that energy, and that's free will. and consciously knowing more about your energy and your cycles can help you, can help empower you so that you can use that free will to the best of your advantage in life.
So in other words, we do have the power. Nothing is absolutely fated. We can take this knowledge and put it to good use in our lives.
We have the power to direct our energy. There are certain lessons that we did sign up to learn. There are certain people that you signed up to meet, and you will. That will be your spouse. That will be your best friend, your brother, your uncle, your parents. There are certain lessons that you cannot avoid, and that's your karma, and that's all shown in the birth chart. But how you learn them and how you react to the events that transpire in your life, that's all free will.
Now, it's very interesting to me, somebody having a career as an astrologer, because, I mean, I think, you know, probably the average person thinks that you're kind of, you know, the old picture of almost the fortune teller, and you go through the beaded curtains, and you're in a dimly lit room, and you're working on secret charts. But I'm guessing that the life of a 21st century astrologer is a little bit different than that. Explain to me what an average day in the life of the astrologer is like today.
Oh, okay. Actually, I consider myself to be a counseling astrologer. Like I said earlier, my background is in psychology, so my approach with my clients is very practical, very grounding within the realm of my metaphysical work. So I'm able to counsel people through our sessions together and really give them the guidance that they need to help them make the right choices in their life and to edit the chapters in their life. So an average day for me would be seeing clients, and also, since I am also a writer, I would write astrology articles or horoscope columns. And writing horoscope columns, even though it is a thumbnail sketch, it's not the full picture. If you know how to read a horoscope column, it can change the way you look at horoscope columns. Everyone who reads their horoscope column should read for both their sun sign and their rising sign or their ascendant. And if you don't know what your ascendant is, you need your birth time, you need your location, you need to print out that chart, and it is the sign that is at the 9 o'clock position on, as if it were a clock. It's the sign that's on the 9 o'clock position. That rising sign is almost as important, if not more important, than the sun sign forecast, because the rising sign is your true mathematical chart, and that helps you better with timing. So to finish answering your question about my typical day, that's basically it. I'll do my consultations, I'll prepare my charts, I will do my writing and send it off, and it's very much like being a psychologist and a writer, but in a unique profession.
No, it sounds absolutely fascinating, and it looks like you've taken a lot of advantage of the internet. Tell us a little bit more about your website, insightfulastrology.com.
Oh, I would love to. She is my third child.
I've never heard a website described like that. Very unique.
Insightful Astrology is definitely my third child. She has evolved into so much more than a website. It is the basis for my information on how to get consultations, certainly, but it's become a newsletter subscription service, and I offer it to members. You can subscribe, and what you get are detailed monthly forecasts. I have teleconferences that I do periodically. There are certain essays that I write specifically about astrology to help teach all of my readers and my clients more about how to use the cycles. I have an Ask Maria column where members can send me in questions, and I'll pick and choose. And there's a section called Maria's Diary within this whole subscription service where I write very candidly about my own personal life using astrology to illustrate how I'm learning my lessons through using astrology. And that seems to go over well, because even though I have a background in psychology and I'm a counselor, I personally feel that it's intimidating for someone to come to me for a reading, and I already know so much about them just by looking at their chart. And that can be an intimidating feeling for someone who's vulnerable and doesn't want to be exposed. So So my belief is, you know what? You're coming to me for a session and you're exposed. I can see a lot more than you realize. So the only fair thing is I will expose myself right back. And that has seemed to draw a pretty nice response from people. And it's a teaching tool as well. And there's also an online message board on my website. It's really taken on a life of its own. There's so much to read, so much to look at. Like I said, you can get free charts. It just never ends. So I encourage people to visit the site and click around. There's a lot to read and to do for free. And then, of course, you could upgrade it if you choose to the membership.
Now, Maria had mentioned that we're actually going to be real live volunteers on the show. We had asked for some folks that would be interested in participating tonight. So right after this break, we're going to have Maria do her stuff. So you ready, Maria?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll do that right after this break on the Paranormal Podcast. Hey, don't only listen to the Paranormal Podcast. Interact. There's a lot of different ways to do it. Email at paranormalpodcast.com. You can put comments at our blog postings at paranormalpodcast.com. You can find more info at where else? paranormalpodcast.com about MySpace. We have our own MySpace page now. We're approaching 1,000 friends. Twitter.com. You can find the Paranormal Podcast Twitter account there. And I regularly post to Twitter almost on a daily basis and many times, multiple times during the day. And finally, a thank you to everybody. First of all, for your generous donations via PayPal at paranormalpodcast.com, your Amazon purchases, all of those things benefit the show. And there is a new wrinkle. What we have now is Paranormal Podcast gear. All you have to do is go to paranormalpodcast.com and scroll down the page. You'll see on the right hand side some info about our new Zazzle store. There you can get hats and keychains and bumper stickers and shirts and just all kinds of cool Paranormal Podcast gear. So we hope that you enjoy that. And with no further ado, we're back to the show. And thank you. Well, we're back on the Paranormal Podcast, and looks like we got our first caller up for Maria DeSimone. She is going to do a real live reading here, a few of them. And do we have Elizabeth on the line?
Yes, you do.
Oh, hi, Elizabeth. How are you? Thanks so much for joining us tonight on the Paranormal Podcast.
Sure. I'm glad to be here.
Now, Elizabeth had sent us her birth information, and she was born in Des Moines, Iowa. And I'll let Maria take it from here to tell Elizabeth a little bit about her chart and maybe what the future holds. Take it
Hi,
away, Maria.
Elizabeth. How are you?
Hi, great. It's good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Have you ever had your astrology chart read before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so you don't know what it looks like. You've never seen this map.
Correct. No,
okay.
I haven't.
Okay. This is going to be interesting for you. I encourage you to go and take a look at your map to see what it looks like. And after we have our little chat, I hope it leaves you thirsty for more. I just want you to realize that whatever we talk about, I'm just scratching the surface, because in the few minutes that we have, I couldn't possibly give you the big picture. So I'm just going to go for what jumps out at me, all right?
Very good.
The first thing that I notice about you, obviously, you're a Cancer sun.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is what you're learning to become in this lifetime. Your Cancer sun is in the seventh house, the relationship house of your horoscope. So that tells me you're very nurturing towards your personal relationships, such as with spouse or business partner, any close committed partnership. Extremely nurturing. You take it very seriously. What's interesting about you is that your ascendant or rising sign is Sagittarius, and you probably have never heard this before. It's a little different from your sun sign, because
Okay. The
sun sign is what you're learning to become in this lifetime, but your rising sign is how you come across to others. It's the cover of your book, everyone's first impression of you, alrighty? So having Sagittarius rising and Neptune, the planet Neptune, is right on your ascendant. And what that all means in English is that you come across as someone who is extremely optimistic and spiritual. You see the glass as half full always, and you're very idealistic, and you're someone who truly wants to impart her wisdom to other people. Sagittarian energy is extremely concerned with the truth and with justice and what is right. Does this make sense for you?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You're a natural teacher, whether or not you realize this, because Sagittarius energy is looked on as the wise sage. So I'm sure you've had that experience of people coming to you for counsel. And what is most interesting is that having Neptune on the ascendant, the only negative thing about that is probably more so when you were younger, hopefully now you've learned how to work with this energy, you might not have always known who you were. There's almost a slippery, elusive nature about your identity. And you might have had an interesting journey to figure out who you are and what your place in this world is.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
It does, and I guess I've kind of embraced that as part of the fun of the ride, finding new things that find interest for me. So that kind of fits in quite well, actually.
Elizabeth, do you have any specific questions for Maria?
I guess I'm not sure how relationships can be read from this chart, and the fact that I am quite a nurturer is very accurate. I share my life with a Virgo, and I don't know if that's something that she could expound on a little bit, if that's something she does, or if she's got any tips or hints.
I would need the other person's birth information. That's called a relationship analysis, and that's different from a natal analysis. What I can do is look at your birth chart and, in general, tell you what I see coming up. And as far as the relationship, the compatibility that you have with this Virgo, you don't go by the sun signs, okay? Obviously, a Cancer and a Virgo are compatible in general. However, there's so much more. You want to look at your Venus, you know, that's the planet of love. You want to look at the moon, that's your emotional connection to each other. Your Mercury, it's how you communicate. So there's a lot more to look at, and it's worthwhile to get a relationship consultation if you're in a committed partnership. What I will tell you that comes out strongly in your birth chart is that if it hasn't already happened, there is a move happening. There's a lot of domestic upheaval. I think this is going to happen more in 2009, towards the second half of 2009, and I don't know if you're thinking about moving or if you already sense the kind of instability. And it doesn't have to be a negative thing. It's just instability. It's things are shaky, and there are changes happening, and you feel them. Does this make sense?
Yes and no. I mean, I guess maybe I've been sticking my head in the sand about it a little bit, and maybe this means I need to pay a little more attention to things, but a Cancer doesn't like to leave her home, and I've made quite a nest here, and maybe that's part of it, but I need to maybe look at that.
Okay, so you're in a situation right now where you're avoiding facing the truth about the domestic situation?
I think it'd be more career-related than a domestic situation that would make me move. But
The move would be because of career.
Right.
But
right.
It would be a geographic relocation.
Possibly, yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you it's not possible. It's very likely. It's definitely something that will happen sometime in 2009. And when I say something with this much certainty, it's because you're having a direct mathematical hit. That's the beauty of astrology, is that we can time events based on math. And just to tell you briefly why I'm telling you this, you have the fourth house, which is the part of your chart that's your home and your roots and your family and your soul and where you feel safe. It is at 23 degrees, 46 minutes of Pisces. And right now in the sky, the planet Uranus is moving through late degree Pisces. It's about 21 degrees Pisces right now. In the second half of 2009, it's going to move to directly align with your fourth house cusp. And Uranus represents sudden, unexpected changes. It is the planet of revolution. It takes you out of your comfort zone. It pushes you out of your comfort zone. So it's interesting that you're saying, as a Cancer, no, you don't want to leave your nest. But you know what? The universe is going to give you a cosmic butt kick because it's the next level you're supposed to go to for your career. It's supposed to take you into the direction you're meant to go. And I know it's scary for someone who's a Cancer to kind of start over, and security is so important to you, especially family, especially family security and that domestic harmony. Remember that if you fight a Uranus transit, the changes are often more difficult to get used to. If you embrace this time and learn how to roll with the punches a little, and when something happens that you didn't expect, take it in stride, it'll be a lot less stressful, because the universe is never trying to hurt you. It's just trying to push you in the direction that it knows your soul signed up to go. All right?
Okay.
So,
and this is late in 09, you said?
Yeah, I would say the second half of 09. Now, it's not just a one-time thing. This is what's interesting about Uranus and all of the outer planets. When they transit a point in your chart or a planet, you usually get three exact mathematical hits. The first one is usually the most dramatic, though. So you're up for your first one in 2009. And I could be a little bit off with the timing, because I did not put your I'm not doing predictive work on my software right now, so all I'm doing is staring at your natal chart and just guessing in my head went from the positions that I know when I'm pretty sure Uranus will be at 23 degrees, and it will be in 2009 for sure.
Okay.
So what do you think, Elizabeth?
I'm very fascinated, maybe getting some more information. This is definitely a teaser. No, this is fascinating. It's just, I've always been, I've known I'm a pretty much textbook Cancer, so it's fun to hear a little bit more in depth about it, though.
Well, thanks so much for joining us on the show tonight.
Sure. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, we go from Elizabeth over to Zachary. We have Zachary on the line. Are you there, Zach?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, hi, Zach. Well, thanks so much for joining us. We've already shared Zach's information with Maria. Maria, and I'll let you guys take it from there.
Hi, Zachary. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Have you ever had your astrological chart read before?
No.
Okay, so this is new territory for you.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'll do is, unfortunately, there's no way to get to everything in such a short amount of time. I'll give you a glimpse and a little snapshot of what I see happening, as well as your personality and your character and some of your life lessons that are illustrated through your astrology, okay? The first thing is obviously you're a Gemini. Everyone knows their sun sign and a little bit about their sun sign. As a Gemini, Zachary, you have, as a matter of fact, you don't just have your sun in Gemini. You've got Mercury, the planet of communication in Gemini. You've got Mars, the planet of energy and action and ambition in Gemini. And you've got a point called the North Node, which is your life direction. All of this is in Gemini. So you are a super Gemini, which means you're someone who is intellectually insatiable. You cannot learn enough. You communicate like crazy, learning, talking. You are so interested in so many different subjects. And your goal in life is to basically learn what you can and integrate it into your life and share it with others. Your communication in partnerships specifically is just so important for you that without it, it's a relationship killer. Does this make sense for you?
Yeah, that all sounds spot on.
Okay. As a Gemini, you may have had some life lessons early on where you either doubted your own intelligence, or you kind of had to go out of your way to prove your intelligence. It's very common with Gemini energy, because the area of your chart that Gemini rules is early childhood education. So it's possible that there was some issues there when you were younger. And by no means does it mean that you are intellectually inferior. As a matter of fact, the opposite is true. You are someone with a profound mind, an amazing depth of intellect and mental energy. And some people might accuse you of thinking too much, that you just never stop, that you always have these new ideas. One thing to know with a Gemini Sun is that you are, since you are interested in so many things, you have to be careful not to become that jack of all trades but master of none. You know what I mean?
I think so.
Whatever it is that you do for a living has got to stimulate you, because if it doesn't, you get bored very easily. And it's not uncommon for a Gemini to change careers, to become bored with whatever they choose as a life path early on, because you didn't really discover this about yourself until later, and you're still very young. So I'm not sure. Are you working or in school now?
I just finished up, actually.
You just finished school, and so you're about to begin your career.
Well, I started about a year ago, I mean.
And what do you do for a living?
I work in television.
Okay. So television is a field that has to stimulate you, and it's got to always be fun, and there must be something to constantly keep you on your toes if you're in the television business. Are you?
I'd say that's right.
Are you a writer at all for television, or are you in the sales or communications in some way?
Oh, wow. It's like you're reading my mind here. I actually just picked up the phone. I'm trying to sell a couple of different series and a movie I've written.
Okay, so you're a screenwriter? Is that what that is?
That's not my profession. I work in the lower end of television, clerical work mainly. But, yeah, writing is my ideal at the moment.
Well, it's not just your ideal. It's what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm confirming that and validating that by looking at the map of your soul right now, okay? I've never met you. I've never spoken to you. But I will tell you that your life direction centers around communication and sharing that communication with the public, okay? You're choosing...
I'm sorry, the map of my soul?
Yes,
where'd you find that?
That's what this is. This birth chart is the map of your soul. Absolutely. All of your lessons and what you signed up for is staring right in front of me right now. And I'm only able to scratch the surface in these couple of minutes, but you are definitely going to have wonderful success if you pursue communication. That's what you're meant to do, okay? You are someone who's very, very diplomatic when it comes to career. You might not want to rock the boat. You might want to, I don't want to say brown nose, because I don't think that's fair for me to say, but you just come across as someone who's very diplomatic, and you go out of your way to keep the peace. So it'll be interesting that when you're about 28, 29 years old, during that time period, you're going to have a very major career lesson having to do with what I just said, okay? And I know it's a way off, but it's coming up strongly in your chart, and that's going to be a turning point for you in your career direction. It's going to be you learning the proper way to relate to authority figures in your career who have the power to help you in your career direction. This will not happen until you're about 28, 29 years old. But remember this. How you handle that lesson when it happens is going to determine a great deal of your future career success. Okay?
I'm sorry, but to clarify, I mean, if you know this much, is that going to be a situation in which I screw up royally, or is it a positive thing?
You have the free will to determine that. What I see is something. It's something that happens to all of us when we're about 28, 29 years old. It's called a Saturn return. Saturn is the planet of karma in astrology, and it's what you're afraid of and what you have to overcome, what you're meant to do, what you're meant to really succeed at in this life, ironically, is what you're most afraid of. And for you, Saturn is in your career sector in the sign Libra, which rules relationships. So that basically tells me that there could be, if you're not experiencing this yet, it could be coming up that there's almost fear of stepping on someone's toes who is an authority figure who can really take you to the next level. And what you will learn to do, the karmic lesson, is that you're going to learn how to properly relate to this person, okay? And I don't want to get too much into your past, because this isn't a private reading, but psychologically, this fear that I'm seeing, it comes from the imprint that happened with you and your father, okay? And again, it's totally up to you if we go any further with that or not. But it's a karmic lesson that's going to come full circle when you're about 28, 29 years old. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, very much so.
Okay, good. Well, just know that when this happens, don't be afraid of it, because trust me, you have tremendous talent, tremendous success potential in communications, and you're choosing to do it through television, and that's fabulous, because it's a beautiful form, it's a beautiful medium. I can see, I wouldn't be surprised. I said screenwriting, and you said that that's not what you do, but I wouldn't be surprised if it goes beyond television, if you are asked at some point in your career to do something for documentaries or the big screen type of a thing. And I'm not saying you're going to be a famous screenwriter. I'm just seeing your talent and your potential. And so I want to point it out to you, because it's what you do with it. Your goal is to just not be scattered and to focus. Because if you can discipline yourself, Zachary, and focus, I can see all of the amazing success that's coming to you.
And do you see a thing in his chart that he'll remember a certain podcast host when he becomes so tremendously successful?
That's not coming up, unfortunately.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, Zachary.
You got my word, Jim.
Okay, very good. Well, Zachary, I hope this was a valuable experience for you and that you enjoyed it.
It was a blast. Thank you very much.
Well, Maria, I really hope Zachary can live up to that. He seems like a bright young man, and I think that he'll go far.
He's got some future.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And now it looks like we're joined on the line by Stephanie. Stephanie, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Oh, hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Very good.
We've shared your birth information with Maria off the line, and we'll let you guys interface, and Maria can tell you more about your chart and maybe where the future lies.
Oh, great.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. How are you, Maria?
Fantastic. I'm so excited to share some of your astrology with you tonight. Have you ever had your chart read before?
Never.
Oh, so everyone tonight is completely new to astrology. This is fun. Okay, well, like I said to the other callers, I urge you to visit my website and cast your free chart. All you need is your birth information, and what you'll be able to do is look and see the visual of what I'm looking at right now as I start to talk to you. And by looking at that birth chart, realize that it is the blueprint, the map of your soul and all the lessons that you came here to learn, all of your talents and weaknesses and strengths and just everything that can be in your lifetime is all there, all the potential, and it's up to you to manifest it. So that's what the free will is. Now, since we don't have a lot of time, I can't give you a full consultation. Realize that what I talk about is only scratching the surface. There is so much more depth to this, and it'll probably feel like a tease. That's what one of the other callers said. So I apologize. There's really nothing I could do about that. I will talk about what stands out the most to me as I'm looking at your chart. The first thing I have to tell you, I see you're a Taurus. I'm a Taurus too, so I can relate to the Taurian energy. you know, the Taurus sun sign, a lot of people don't realize that the sun sign is not necessarily what you are. It's what you're learning to become, okay? So you're learning the qualities of being a Taurus. And yes, you're very determined and persistent and loyal and stubborn. And, you know, people say you're security conscious and you're too worried about money and all of that. But you know what? You're here to learn about values. That's what you will be tested on all of your life. And for you, it's a lot of family values. That sun is in your fourth house of home and family, and domestic security is number one on your priority list. There is so much to be said for the ability you have to create that wonderful warm nest. And I don't know if you're a mother. Do you have children?
I've got grown stepchildren.
Grown stepchildren. Okay, so did you help raise them?
No.
Okay.
I acquired them as adults. So.
So they came fully grown. And, you know, even though you didn't raise children of your own, your home, your setting in your home must be so inviting and comfortable. And I wouldn't be surprised if people love to come there, come to you, and just gravitate towards your home. I see that energy in your chart very strongly.
Well, we've had some of the kids move in, and the grandkids have been here and stuff. So, yeah, we do have we do have a lot of people here in the house.
Mm-hmm. And you know, your domestic security is extremely important to you in your life. You have possibly this, and I'm not looking as in depth into your chart as I would need to say this for sure, but you've got Mars, which is the planet of action and aggression and your drive and motivation. It's in the sign Cancer. And when your drive and ambitions are in the sign Cancer, it shows me that you're very hypersensitive almost about your ambitions and your actions. And you're very sensitive to criticism. Were you married before?
No.
This is your first marriage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this, back in, I don't know if you can remember this, but back in November of this past year, there was a lot going on with your husband, with his family. There was a cycle that you were under where I almost want to say he had to learn how to fight, or you had to help him fight. And I don't know if this makes any sense, but it's just coming out right now because Mars and Cancer went through an amazing long transit from November up until March of last year. And there was a lot going on with your energy in the home life, and it had to do with your husband. Okay, does that make any sense?
Somewhat, yeah.
And this could have been your relationship with him. It could have been a stormy time that you guys had to get through together.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't dwell on that because you got past it. And now you're in a very expansive period, a very, very good period for you. Jupiter, which is the planet of luck, abundance, and expansion, is about to cross your ascendant or your rising sign. And that is basically how you come across to others. It's the beginning, your awakening consciousness. Jupiter crosses your ascendant only once every 12 years. And on September 7th, it's going to start moving direct again. And when that happens, let me tell you something, Stephanie, opportunities are going to be coming all over the place for personal growth for you that you want to take advantage of. Okay?
Okay.
During this time, the only bad thing that could possibly happen is that you can gain a little weight because Jupiter expands whatever it touches. And this is your physical body. You might be kind of sensitive to gaining weight for the next few months.
Maria, is it possible maybe I've somehow gotten some Jupiter lately?
I would have to look at your chart, Jim. I don't know.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know how much Jupiter you're going to get on your waistline, Stephanie, but it's very common for you to gain a few pounds when Jupiter crosses your ascendant. And that's just because it's expansive. It wants to grow, and Jupiter doesn't discriminate. It just expands. It just blows things up. But the good thing, the phenomenal thing, is that your personal growth, your identity, your personality is expanding. It's shooting all over the place. So I'm not sure how this is feeling for you now and how this is manifesting, but is there anything going on in your life that you feel you're on the brink of something big, big personal change?
You know, I don't know. I do know that within just the past few days, few weeks, my outlook on life has become a lot rosier, you know, a lot sunnier. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why, but just things are starting to feel really wonderful.
Well, that's interesting because usually you have a Capricorn ascendant, okay? So Capricorn is the most serious, sober sign of the zodiac. But Jupiter is in Capricorn now, and it's about to pass through your ascendant. So Jupiter expands what Saturn or Capricorn wants to restrict. So it's nice. You're usually someone who is too sober and too realistic, and you take things very seriously, and you might have been forced to grow up before you should have. So that's why you have this attitude, this outlook. Jupiter is helping you become more optimistic and helping you to see, wow, the sun is really behind the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
There really is good potential here. The other thing I wanted to talk about in your chart is that you have an extremely psychic chart. I don't say this to everybody. I've done actually a research project on psychic indicators in the birth chart, and you've got a couple of them that just pop out like crazy. the sun in your birth chart is very close to the fourth house cusp, which is, it's the soul, it's the roots, it's path, it's heritage, and it is opposing Neptune. Neptune is the planet of the psychic realm, the other worlds. This is a very strong indication of mediumistic ability that I see in your chart. And I don't know if this is something that you've ever explored, if you've had experiences. You've got that Pisces moon, so I know you're sensitive. I know that you're an emotional sponge. You're a psychic sponge. You soak up other people's feelings. And how has that played out for you?
Well, I can relate to. In fact, when you said, you know, there was a strong psychic tendency there, I knew you were going to say that. Just kidding. No, I've actually been told, I was told that once by a palm reader.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I actually, sometimes I feel that I do, you know, kind of know when something's going to happen before it does, so.
Mm-hmm. You have a very strong intuition. You actually have mediumistic ability, which you could explore if that's something that you weren't afraid to do, because it's dominating in your chart, very dominating. This is something you can make a career out of. And when I tell you I've studied the charts of some of the most world-famous psychics and mediums of our time, dead or and alive, you have got a grand slam aspect that is right up there. Right up there. So I'm not just telling you something that you might want to hear. This is very, very valid, a very strong ability that you have. The thing with your Pisces moon, though, that gets in the way is you are very compassionate. Pisces moon is, you know, they want to save everyone. They attract the victims to them. Everyone that needs to be saved seems to come knocking at your door. The thing with the Pisces moon is you don't want to be taken advantage of. A lot of times people could take advantage of your kindness because they mistake it for weakness. And you are definitely not a weak person, not with a Taurus sun, but you are a very compassionate soul. And you base your value, your self-worth comes from what you can do for other people. So you might tend to overdo it because it validates you and makes you feel good. And there's not enough boundaries. So if you were ever to decide to explore psychic work, what you would have to learn is how to draw boundaries. Because if you don't protect yourself and ground yourself enough, you can get carried away, and it could lead you to, you know, wanting to escape. The negative use of Pisces energy is turning to alcohol or drugs or escaping. And if you don't do this yourself, or you never did it yourself, you probably attract those types of people to you. You just attract people who need to be saved. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you know what? You are the rock. As a Taurus sun and someone with Capricorn rising, Capricorn is just, I mean, as steady as they come. That is, everyone knows they can count on you. Even though you are compassionate and sensitive, you have a strength about you that people trust. And you've also got tremendous counseling ability. It's very likely that you have sought counseling at some point in your life. You are someone who isn't afraid to dig into your own soul, into your own depths, and you're not afraid to uncover your own pain and your own past. And that quality, that not being afraid to do that, that quality enables you to help other people confront their skeletons. Okay, has that been a strong experience in your life?
Yes, it has.
Okay. And, you know, like I said, this is just a glimpse. I want you to take this expansion that's happening after September 7th, and whatever it is in your heart that you feel for your identity, for your self, this is all about you now. From September 7th until the end of December, this is a cycle where it is all about you. It's all about what Stephanie wants for her personal growth, what direction your life is supposed to take next. So think about it and realize that there are enormous possibilities out there. All you have to do is grab them.
So, Stephanie, what do you think about your reading tonight?
Oh, I thought it was fantastic.
Go ahead.
Enlightening and very hopeful.
Well, good. Well, we are glad that you listened to the show, and we're glad that you enjoyed the reading.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to give you this reading.
Thank you, Stephanie, for being a part of it.
Okay. Bye-bye, and have a good Labor Day weekend.
You know, Maria, when you're doing your readings, I can really feel the empathy coming through, and sometimes it seems like it's kind of hard for you to stop, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I could go on and on. Like I said, I'm apologizing to everyone beforehand because I'm only able to scratch the surface, and there's so much depth. You can learn something new about your chart every day, and even one consultation doesn't do your chart justice. So imagine only having 5 minutes to talk about what's going on. It's there's so much more that I would like to explore with the clients, with the callers, but I can't. So it's hopefully this will give people a taste of the potential that astrology has to help you along your life path, and I'm hoping that from your show people will either explore my website or other websites and learn more about astrology and what it has to offer.
Maria, do we have time for one more call?
Why not? Sure.
Okay. Well, it looks like we've got Tim queued up here. Are you there, Tim?
Yes, I am.
Well, we would like to proceed here. Maria, Tim, Maria.
Hi.
And we'll let you exchange a little bit of info about Tim's chart.
All right, Tim. How are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Fantastic. I'm going to ask you as well, have you ever had your astrology chart read before?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so everyone tonight is completely new to astrology. You will hopefully be interested in learning more after we have our very brief snapshot of what's going on right now with you. I will tell you what's interesting about your chart. It's very difficult sometimes for a man to have this much water in his chart. You're full of water, and the water element is the element of sympathy and nurturing and empathy and sensitivity. And you've got not only that Cancer Sun, which I know you know about, you've got a Pisces Moon, and you have Scorpio Rising. And those are all three water signs that are represented in your chart. And I'm curious, I have to ask you, how do you as a man reconcile this energy? Because you are extraordinarily sensitive.
You know, I really don't know how to answer that. You know, I guess in the past people have told me I'm a sensitive kind of guy, but I'm also the type of person that holds my emotions, you know, pretty close to myself. So a lot of that I think I just kind of internalize and work out in different ways.
Okay, so you internalize it more than expressing it. I'm bringing it up because it's uncomfortable for a man in this society to have this much water and feel like he can't express it. Okay, so I feel your pain that you know you're being conditioned to not show all of this sensitivity, and you have tremendous sensitivity and awareness and compassion for other people's pain and suffering and for other people's feelings. So I want to just point that out to you because it shows up very strongly in your chart. And, you know, with Scorpio Rising, the rising sign is how you come across to other people. Scorpio Rising, my gosh, I wouldn't be surprised at all. I have no idea what you look like, but people who have either the Sun, the Moon, or Scorpio Rising very often have these trademark eyes. People might not stare you directly in your eyes. They might avoid eye contact with you because your eyes are, there's something about them that is so penetrating, it goes right through to their soul, and it intimidates people because they know that you can see right through them. Has anybody ever told you that?
You know, actually once someone did tell me that. I was doing an interview at a company I used to work at, and they were taking some photographs for a magazine, and they chose one picture in particular because of the way my eyes looked, and when they, you know, actually put it up on the web, they had a little snippet of that picture and they focused right in on my eyes. So yeah, I guess I have had that happen before.
You have, with Scorpio Rising, you can definitely see right through to someone's soul. And you can spot a phony from a mile away. This is a tremendous gift that you have to know whether or not you can trust someone instantly. It's a gut feeling. And always trust that. I'm sure it served you well in the past.
You know, I always thought that was all the bartending I did, but
the bartending, no, it's the planets. Oh, that is so funny.
You're making me thirsty.
You mean thirsty too. You know, okay, you were a bartender, but let's talk about what you're doing now, because I see a lot of talent with communications in your career, and there's a spotlight on either publishing, internationalism, broadcasting. Or even the legal world, okay? You have a very strong ninth house emphasis, and the ninth house is all of those things that I just mentioned, and it will be related to your career somehow. Other cultures, other traveling, long journeys. There's a foreign flavor, and communications comes up very strongly. So what are you doing?
Actually, I work for a video game company. I'm a concept designer. I kind of come up with the ideas for potential video games that we might want to make and publish.
Okay, so this is mostly technology?
Yeah, mostly technology. I'm kind of on the creative side of things, though. I don't actually, you know, program or do any of the art or anything like that. I'm kind of the idea guy.
Okay, so you don't have an opportunity then to travel as much as you'd like.
Well, you know, actually, the role I'm in now is fairly new. Before that, I worked as a director of quality assurance, and when I was in that role, I actually traveled actually more since I moved to the place I'm at now than I had ever done in my life before. So, you know, as recently as just 2 or 3 years ago, I was in Germany, I was in Norway, you know, I was traveling all over the U.S. I went to New York for the first time, so. So I did have quite a little bit of that just a couple of years ago. But the role I'm in now is relatively new, last 6 to 8 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got a lot of energy that has to do with traveling. And it's interesting because as a Cancer son, most of the time Cancer is associated with staying close to the home and the nest and all that. But when the sun is in the ninth house, it's like you have wanderlust. And sure, your security, your domestic security is very important to you, but you actually feel secure. You're someone who can make a home wherever you go, wherever you travel. And there's a lot of energy, a lot of potential for more travel in your future. So wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I don't expect it to be a permanent thing. And I would be surprised if, even though you're very creative right now and you're enjoying the creativity in your career, I would be very surprised if you remain in this specific career path for too long. What is it that you want to do ultimately?
It's something I've been trying to do for the past 15 years or so, and that's actually get the job I have now. So, this is what I want to do. I mean, I want to write, I want to create.
Right. You're writing.
Well, yeah, I do a lot of writing as part of my job. And then also outside of work, I engage in several different projects that involve a lot of writing as well. So,
okay.
So that's you know, by and large, predominantly what I do.
I didn't realize that the job that you have now is writing. I thought that it was technology and designing, like graphics.
Well,
I misunderstood.
Well, you know, yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, I don't do the technical side of things, so I kind of come up with the ideas that other people then make into the game. So.
Okay,
I kind of
writing,
write up stories or...
That's fantastic. Then you are following your life direction. I misunderstood your job description because communication is right at the top of your chart and it has to be creative. So that's a very, very good thing. A lot of people aren't in touch with what they're supposed to be doing or they're avoiding it for one reason or another. Now, the only other thing that I wanted to mention quickly about your chart is you've got Saturn, which is the planet of restriction and delay and limitation and your karma. It's in the relationship sector. So Saturn here brings a big test of a delay sometimes in marriage or someone who avoids marriage. But when you do finally meet someone to have an enduring partnership with, it will be forever. So I'm not sure if relationships are a very important part of your life right now, or if you have a stable relationship, but early on, you might have had a big fear of commitment, or fear of losing your worth somehow by being in a relationship. And has this been is this something that you've overcome?
Yeah, actually, I got married about 5 years ago.
Okay.
But I can say before that within my circle of friends and within my family, I was certainly the last one to get married, the oldest to get married. So I did put that off for quite a while. And actually, my wife, before we were married, we dated for 5 years. So So even then, yeah, I can see what you're saying.
Okay. The good thing about having Saturn in your seventh house, though, is that once you tie the knot, it's tied. So you're someone who has a chart where I would be very surprised if you ever got divorced. I would be very surprised if your marriage ever ended. And that has to really make a Cancer son happy to know, because domestic and family security is so important to you. So knowing that you have that stability in your partner is a priceless gift. And that's because you have embraced that karmic, that fear. And by embracing it, you're now rewarded. So you have the potential for a very, very long marriage, which is nice. But you will be doing a lot more traveling, even if you think you're settled. I do not think the traveling is over for you, my friend.
Well, I'm looking forward to that then.
Oh, gosh. All right, Tim, I'm sorry we don't have more time to talk about anything else, but at least this gave you a little bit of a glimpse.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Actually, I have to say I'm a little bit surprised. I was a little skeptical, but I think you've done a really good job of accurately describing me and pointing some things out that maybe I wasn't necessarily aware of or I wasn't thinking of in the right context. So,
Thank you.
Yeah, this is exciting.
Well, Tim, thanks so much for listening to the show and thanks for agreeing to participate tonight.
Oh, thank you, Jim, for having me. I really appreciate it. I've been a longtime fan of your show.
Thank you, sir. Well, Maria, I think Tim's going to be the last one we have an opportunity to talk to tonight, but would you consider coming back on the program sometime?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime. It was a pleasure.
Yes, we enjoyed it, and I could tell that the audience members enjoyed it and sounded like you had a lot of hits. Now, if folks out there listening want to find out more about you and about your services, where would you recommend that they go?
Definitely go right to my website, My Third Child. It's insightfulastrology.com, and it is a website with so much information, and my contact information is there as well. I hope you decide to visit and spend some time there and play with some of the tools and read some of the articles and learn more about my favorite language in the world, and that's astrology.
And anything exciting on the horizon for you?
For me personally?
In terms of your astrology and so forth, or anything that you see on your chart?
Well, I'm writing my first astrology book, and I hope to have that out in late 2009. It's called Grow Into Your Soul, An Astrological Guide. So I'm working on that, and I'm doing all of my writing, and you can pretty much see all of my writing on the website, and the horoscope columns that I write for is available there as well. And there's plenty of good stuff on the horizon, but right now I'm trying to finish up the book.
Okay, good deal. And hopefully when that comes out, we'll be able to have you on and talk about that. And thanks again.
Love to. Thank you.
And thank you so much for listening to the latest edition of the Paranormal Podcast. I know it was something a little bit different, but we're trying to mix it up a little bit these days, so we keep you guessing. So please keep listening. Thank you for listening today or tonight or whatever time it is when you decided to dial in. And I'm Jim Harold. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.